I'm looking through the KCM notes, the Kenneth Copeland Ministers Convention notes, to see if there's anything that I need to bring out right now. Happy Caldwell started it off, and he was talking about pastors are not teaching on the rapture and the second coming often enough. All I'm thinking is we teach on it. Mm-hmm. We've given out charts on it. But he's talking about, in most churches, they're not talking about the soon coming of Jesus. We know he's coming soon, but we believe there's coming a glorious revival first.
Right, yes.
And so Billy Brim gets up next, and she starts talking about God's coming for a glorious bride. Yes. In fact, she was correcting some of the stuff that Happy Caldwell taught that I didn't agree with. She got up and corrected it.
Uh-oh.
Hey, they don't hold back.
Go, Billy, go.
And she said, God's coming for a glorious bride excelling in the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Yes. A dividing line is being drawn between the supernatural church and those of the natural.
Yeah, I believe that.
2018, March of 2018, Jesus came to me in a dream. It's one of the five or six visitations of Jesus I've had in my life. Took me up above the earth and showed me the church is going to the glory and those not. And it was a supernatural church, spirit-led versus the natural church that were people-pleasing. And you guys remember my dream from a couple weeks ago, the Trump dream?
No.
Those who were here?
Yeah. Yes.
I think, BJ, you weren't here. Albie. And Sean, I think you weren't here 2 weeks ago. But God gave me a dream about 3 weeks ago where President Trump came in the room I was sitting. Started chewing me out. And he's saying, you can't do this job. Who do you think you are? You're not qualified. What makes you think you can do this? And as he's talking, just to make the dream short, I knew he was talking about how somehow I'd just been made president of the United States in his place. Just call me Mr. President. I've been made president. And my first realization is I don't know anybody being president.
Yeah.
I know nothing about foreign affairs, about the economy, you know, worldwide and all the stuff with strategic military positioning. Nothing. I just know whatever God says, let's do it. And so he's chewing me out, and I started saying, Mr. President, I can't do this without your help. I need your partnership. To make a long story short, it dropped to me. Follow me, I'll show you how I'm going to do it. And I walked up, started praying in the spirit and prophesying and doing miracles. And the dream, God gave me interpretation right away that people are going to say, what are you doing in this church? How did you get here? You're not qualified to be in this area. You follow me? And it's going to be the love of God and the power of God that we're going to walk in.
Yes.
And it's not going to be a man-built church.
No.
Amen.
It's going to be a spirit-led effort.
Yeah.
And it's got to be not just spirit-led pastor. It's got to be a spirit-led body.
Yeah.
Amen.
Fitly joined together. Covenant, every part bringing their giftings in. You know, I mentioned that... I'm trying to say this. We're going to see God's increase coming through the seed we've sown. And we continue to sow. And we still sow. I just sowed $2,000 out of the church. $3,000 in the past couple weeks. To Gathering Place, I told you about that one, $1,000 and $2,000 to our partners. And not to mention tithes go out every week. But the Bible says he gives seed to the soul. And you can claim that. God, give me something to sow. Give me some seed I can use to pay the building off.
Yes.
Follow me? And then know the difference when it comes in. Again, no pressure for me. But we serve a God. Yeah, I'm hearing the Spirit of God now say, just leave it right there. Money cometh. And so she was talking about the supernatural church versus the natural. There's a dividing line coming. I believe that. I've been declaring for 25 years at least that God's going to bring the people-pleasing man-made church to nothing.
Yep.
They're going to collapse, and we will step into their facilities.
Yep.
I believe that.
Amen.
I've been asking God about this building. Are we here permanently? I don't think so. I think we'll have it permanently. And I think we'll have branches all around town and all around the area.
Mm-hmm. I see what you do.
But I believe where we're going, this building will hold everybody that we're going to need.
That's
room.
Right. It's just the next
That's
day.
Right.
I'm still waiting on the pavilion. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And and right now, I asked the pastor how many it would seat. That's where I got the two. That's where I got the other money from. I told you some money numbers wrong from him. That was seating. He had 315 seats set up himself. I know it'll hold. I know it'll hold 350. He had
total.
And so what?
That'll squeeze three more in for 318.
Yeah, there you go. I know it'll hold 350.
How much does the balcony hold?
I think he said it was 150 or something like that, and he had 165 chairs downstairs. Now, we're going to take up some of the downstairs space with bathrooms. But I still bet we can get 300 seats there, even taking the bathrooms in.
And then if you go to two services on Sunday, that's 700 people. You want to do three on Sunday?
Do three. Whatever, you know.
And that's close to 1,000 people right there.
I mentioned sharing this about the KCM conference, and I hope you guys can follow me. Something dropped on me when we got this building. And I went to the conference. I've got people coming up to me wanting to meet me. Anybody know who Nassar Siddiqui is?
Yes.
NASCAR Suzuki, we call him.
Yeah.
Nassar is the one that was preaching one night when God told me to give away my Camaro. And within a week, $15,000 came to me in the church. He's there every year. I've met him several times there in the past because Vicki Schmidtgall used to work for him, and she's with Pastor Bob. Pastor Vicki. And every time I met him, he just kind of ignored me.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I'm there, and I saw him a couple times, but I'm standing against the wall waiting to talk to somebody. He comes straight to me to introduce himself. So I know who you are. I'm with this, and I know Vicki Schmidtgall. I'll tell him hi. I said, I'll see him in a week. I'll tell her 2 weeks. I'll tell him hi. He came up wanting me to invite him to preach. I mean, that's what I feel was going on. He just wanted to introduce himself.
I think he preached in Lexington once.
Twice.
Okay,
yeah.
Same message. there's an authority's come on me that I feel that before we got the building, I'm having to cast down. Am I even supposed to be in Georgetown? I never had any root, never considered quitting, wasn't even a thought, but it was hitting. The enemy was hitting.
Yeah.
So once we went in there, and the second time I toured it, I feel like I own Georgetown. I don't even follow that or not. Nobody knows me here. Nobody in government knows me. But all of a sudden, I feel like this is my city.
Yes.
It's the water towers opening up. And so at the KCM conference, it's happening. I've got Herb Schneider came up. Well, I approached him first. And he took down all my contact information. Herb Schneider is an apostle to the Micronesia and the Marshall Islands.
Wow.
He used to be part of our ministry. He says, I'm going to get with you. There's just the connections. Joe Lycan. How many have heard of Ichthus?
Yeah.
Joe Lycan owns Ichthus. He's become my friend. He contacted me yesterday saying, I want to do a series of concerts with some really good groups. Will you consider letting us use your church as a facility for some of these concerts? Well, let me think about that. So I told him what we do on Friday nights. He says, that's great. Let's be part of that. And so he wants us to come to Ichthus to set up Chariots of Light. He wants to come to our church to hold concerts. And his son lives in Georgetown, who works for South and Christian Music as a sound system engineer. He's available for us to use for our sound system anytime we need assistance. Anyway, God's doing these connections all of a sudden.
Yes.
And I feel a new level of authority.
Amen.
So when I had the dream about how we're going to do it, I felt the authority of the miraculous coming to another level. Am I rambling too much?
No,
it's beautiful.
So Rick Renner spoke next, and I love Rick Renner. And he started talking about, I didn't write down the reference. Something was prophesied in the New Testament and believers have been waiting for 20 years. It was about waiting for the vision. He says they were waiting for 20 years before the vision came to pass. And they're teaching about don't lose hope, don't give up, hold fast the vision. And he started talking about Hebrews chapter 10:23, that time tries to speak to you and discourage you from the vision. I know that's true.
Yeah.
A year and a half in a borrowed tomb.
We want everything done now. And I
heard God. He said the devil tries to discourage you, friends try to discourage you, family tries to discourage you, ungodly men try to hold back the truth. He said, you must wrap your arms around the vision and hold it tight to keep it from being stolen.
Did you say 10:23?
Hebrews 10:23.
That's what I posted on our announcement for today's services.
Is that right?
I did that yesterday.
How about that?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Praise God. So that was his verse he was going to about discouragement. And we have to hold the vision fast, keep speaking the vision. Guess what? That's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
I've been doing since 1989. Watertight vision. And to truly profess our faith must be developed to the level we're confessing. Jeremy Pearson's got up. That's Kim Copeland's grandson. Ministers in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He said he can see Andrew Womack's church from his backyard. And he was he was speaking about questions God was asking him that he felt were. He was asking to all of us. What's your motive? What's the difference between a minister and a manipulator? It's motive. So he's dealing with motives. And what are you willing to suffer for? What's your passion? What are you willing to die for? Why are you so fearful? And he went into why are you so fearful? Why have you given fear access? We will work to keep fear out. Because the enemy will try to hit us. That's always the first attack of the enemy, is fear. And he started talking about not being afraid of the people. He said 2026 is a year without fear. And this is interesting. He says you cannot seek the Lord real quick. It takes time pursuing God. God lets us seek Him, and all bondage is rooted in fear. And he went into some steps of how to be free of rejection and fear. But this was interesting. They announced Tuesday, it was 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They announced Tuesday morning a guest speaker that night, a surprise guest. Anybody know who they think it was?
You.
I kept waiting for to call me up. And this guy, Bill Winston.
Praise God.
Bill Winston has some health issues lately, so he preached from a chair, but I'll tell you what. He lit the place up, showing pictures of his building where he started in a storefront with a little door on the side.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to his church, and I have, I consider it the Taj Mahal
of
Christianity in America. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely gold-trimmed, everything crystal glass, beautiful. Own grocery store, bought this mall, all debt-free, phenomenal. He was teaching about, here's some of the statements. Again, I'm going pretty quick because we have a lot. It's already 11:36. He said, faith does not need an overseer. Speak it, let it work. Quit trying to control your faith. Be fearful of your faith. Just quit it. Let it work. He said, Jesus went to sleep after releasing his faith on the boat. When someone has a slave mentality, they need an overseer. Your faith doesn't need that. If we release real faith, we can go on our way and trust faith to continue and complete its work. Faith works beyond the grave. And he spoke on seed, trees, and deeds. See? Interesting. I've been speaking on seeds and trees and deeds. Not by that name, but in my love videos. Trees of righteousness. Demons are controlling cultural mentalities in America to keep people in poverty. It wouldn't be fun to get the Winston in here. God is well able to humble leaders who oppose his assigned servants. In the last days, God may ask many to start a business they know nothing about. This will assure they do it totally by grace versus their own ability. Interesting. Mac Hammond spoke the next morning. He says, the question he's asked a lot of times, I'm believing God, why isn't it working? And he started talking about us being the gatekeepers. That sound familiar? The gates of righteousness. We're the gates. He started teaching about we're the gates. We determine what comes and what doesn't. And he taught on four principles, principal contributors to a renewed mind. I won't go into that at this time. But a big one was controlling your words. And then Andrew Womack. That's the first time I've been going to those meetings for well over 20 years. First time he spoke there. And he was amazing. I love Andrew Womack. And that was something else that was interesting. They had four Vietnam veterans speak in a row. Bill Winston was a Vietnam fighter pilot and a Tuskegee Airman, right? Won two air medals. It's like the Air Force Medal of Honor or the next thing to it. Mac Hammond, Vietnam veteran jet fighter pilot that Mark Barker was shooting his gun at. Not shooting down. Andrew Womack, I didn't know this, Vietnam veteran. And Keith Butler.
And Mark Barkley.
Mark Barkley, yeah. And I think maybe Dennis Burke. There was Kenneth Copeland was pre-Vietnam. Anyway, Andrew starts speaking about the living in the balance between grace and faith. He said, your faith doesn't force God to do anything. It appropriates what God's already made available.
Amen.
You're already healed. Faith just appropriates. You're not making God heal you. Right. It's already there.
That's good.
You're latching onto it with your faith. And this is interesting because I've been speaking on this as well. Everything that is above ground, everything, was in the ground at one time. Everything alive came from seed in the ground. You following? Man's made of dust of the ground. The iron ore. Everything, he said, used to be in the ground. And of course, our job is to bring what's underneath, unseen, into the scene.
Amen. Amen.
And God made man last on the sixth day, so he could have access to everything he made before that. Quit it, Patty. Keith Butler. Great word from Keith Butler. Paul wanted to go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go.
That's right.
And he saw in a vision a man from Macedonia, which is Greece, Thessalonica. Call him over. And they went to Macedonia. Well, later, some years later, Paul goes to Greece. And guess what? The people from Macedonia funded his ministry in Asia. God said, go get the funders first. And you go over there. It's not how he put it, but that's what happened. God put everything in line. He said, timing is everything in following God.
That's right.
You got to be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And Dennis Burke said his wife's called 2026 the year of the fix. Things in 2026 will be fixed in us, through us, and for us. And Mark Barclay started preaching on God is mindful of us. He will help us. And how to be free of lack. And he spoke on removing limiters out of your life. Let me read you the list of limiters he covered real quickly. Caring what people say is a limiter. He said, if you please God, what does it matter who displeases of you? If you displease God, what does it matter who you please? Don't hesitate to preach what God instructs, including prosperity. He said, discouragement is a limiter. Be able to encourage yourself. My God, I've tapped into that lately. I'm in a year and a half of speaking to myself in songs and hymns. It ain't over. No, I win. Praise God. You gave me a vision. I've not stepped in. I'm talking about for a year and a half. And she never heard me speak negative. You never heard me complain. But I'm up there in my prayer time. Thank you, Jesus. We win.
Yes.
Poverty mentality is a limiter. That's a spirit. Don't stop giving. And use this example. The woman that Elijah came to and said, I think it was Elisha, was in debt and they were about to sell her kids. He says, what do you have in the house? She said, I have a little oil. He said, go borrow vessels, not a few. Borrow a bunch of vessels. And she poured and filled all those vessels until she ran out of vessels. And when she ran out of vessels, the oil stopped. Yeah. She said, she determined by her expectation the level of manifestation she would experience. She could have got three times as many vessels and three times as much oil. And we cannot limit God with a poverty mentality or a low expectation. And then he gave a testimony. Man, that was powerful to me. I want you to get a hold of what I'm about to say. One of his spiritual fathers, he had five of them. They're all deceased now. One of his main ones was John Osteen, Joel's father. Great man of faith. And he was talking to John Osteen and he says, it seems to me the people in church I help the most, I help them through, you know, financial, I get them out of, you know, financial big problems. They're the ones that turn on me or leave me first. And he says, John shocked me. He says, that's your fault. What? I'm just trying to help people. I'm trying to walk in love. Why is it my fault? And he said, when the widow woman was in debt and about to have her household sold, Elijah didn't say, well, here, let me help you.
Right.
He said, what do you have in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, you better turn people to the kingdom seed, not be their savior.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's
right. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, I believe there's times you help people. We've helped a lot of people. Got a demand, hey, we're here, we're seed sowers ourselves, we'll help. But you set yourself up for failure when as a church, you become an enabler.
That's right.
Trying to meet everybody's needs versus teaching the kingdom to sow a seed. And Elijah said, what do you have? And when she said, I have a little oil. I have nothing. She said, I have nothing. Save a little oil.
Yeah.
He said, use that. When Elijah went to the widow woman who God said was going to sustain you. And she said, I don't have anything left but a little oil and a little meal. I'm going to make some cakes. My son and I are going to eat them. We're going to die. He said, make me a cake first.
Yeah, he did.
Can you see the newspapers on that one? Prophet asked for meals, widow's last meal.
Yeah.
But guess what? Her oil and her meal never went empty. And where we're going, we'll have the opportunity to teach the kingdom or be enablers. We got to hear God and know the difference.
Right.
Because we're not going to be everybody's answer. We're going to give them the one who is the answer. Teach the kingdom that will answer. So I don't know how many people that would disappoint once we get in the building. Can I just speak for just another minute?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2013, I went to Africa the first time. To some pastors that had come under our ministry. And it became very obvious to me that I'm in Ghana. It's a very poor country. That the goal of most pastors in Ghana is to find an American church to fund them. Mm-hmm. Gosh, kind of said early on, we're not doing that. We're going to teach the kingdom. Well, I made the mistake. I started helping fund them. And then they complained because they didn't fund them enough.
Yeah.
Right. And kept wanting more.
And turned on me.
Yeah.
So when I went and vocally said, I'm not here to fund this work. I'm going to teach you the kingdom, and the kingdom will fund your work if you'll do the kingdom.
Amen.
A lot of people don't want to hear that.
Nope.
They think, well, you tapped into an American church. You got it made now. And that's the mentality over there.
Yeah.
Missions churches. We fund missions churches. We will not fund missions churches. You follow me? We let them come under us and accept the covering and receive the teaching. But we're not here to fund. That's God's duty. And so where we're going, that's going to be true there as well. If you follow what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be enablers. Thank you, Jesus. Because if I'm putting my house, my paychecks, my savings all on the line, I'm going to teach other people.
Yeah.
Get skin in the game. Trust the kingdom. Was that okay?
Yeah.
Very good.
Any thoughts or comments on anything?